Hi, this is Dr. Kimberly Leonard, author of Visualizing Happiness in Every Area of Your Life and host of this podcast, Incredible Life Creator. And today I have with me Miss Linda Henley Smith. Hey, Linda.
Hello, Kimberly. How are you?
I am great. Thanks for being on the podcast. And just so people can know you, I'm going to read your bio.
Okay.
So, Linda Henley Smith started her professional career as an educator and taught in the public schools until she had an opportunity to go to New York and do some singing. After she returned, Linda started by speaking and training business and called it for the Good Times programs because she believes everyone should enjoy some good times in their life. Understanding and embracing the concepts of positive attitude and healing power of laughter is an important element to living a healthy and balanced life. Linda has presented to diverse audiences in every state of the union and in Europe, Africa, Canada, and Mexico. She has authored 5 books, including How to Live Like a Diva, Delighting in Victorious Attitude, and Slightly Irregular Underwear. Sometimes imperfections can be perfect. Well, I'm so happy to have you on, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun just
I
based on the books you wrote. So, why don't you start by telling us about you, like, where how you started as a teacher and how you got into doing what you're doing now?
Okay, well, my whole life basically has involved some form of teaching. I knew when I was a little girl that I wanted to teach. I taught people things that they didn't even want to know. I mean, I was always playing school and I demanded that they sit and listen to me because that's what I wanted to do. And I also knew I wanted to perform. I had to share a room with my older sister at one point who was 11 years older. And that roommate situation didn't last long because I took all of her things, I mean, everything, all of her books and everything, and made it a stage for me to stand on so that I could perform. I would sing, I would dance. I had, oh my goodness, neighborhood kids put on a play, and I was the producer and the director, and I interviewed and auditioned people, but nobody made the cut but me. And so I've just always kind of wanted to do that. I learned now to share the stage with other people, but I've always wanted to teach. And one of the joys of my life has always been to see the light bulb go on when somebody grasps something with which they've been struggling, whether it be a child who all of a sudden it's like, whoa, okay, I get it. Because everyone learns differently. And so I always tried to, when I was teaching, personalize and individualize. And I'm a very visual person. And so I teach with props and a lot of visual effects, basically. And so that's always been a joy for me, is to watch people learn. And then when I came back from New York, I retired early from teaching, early, because I did have that opportunity to go to New York and perform. And when I came back, that's when I decided to expand my teaching to different audiences, grown-up audiences. And I realized that really we're not much different, no matter what age we are. We still want to have a good time, and we still learn more effectively when we're learning with humor. And we remember things. I was working initially at a retirement community, and they sent me to an American Society on Aging conference as a representative. And this was before I started speaking. It's when I had first come back from New York. And I went to this conference, and it was really sad and depressing because I'm not joking, the topics were death. You can run, but you can't hide.
No.
Your liver is not always your friend. I mean, things like this. And my hair stood up. I was like, ah! I was very distressed. So I submitted a proposal for the next year at the conference to present a program. And I made one on humor, the use of humor in healing, and just the power of laughter. Well, I got to the conference and there are people lined up all the way around to get into my session, and it had nothing to do with me. They didn't know who I was. I don't even know that my name was in the program. But I asked one of them, I said, "Why are you here?" And they whipped out the program, and it was the same as the year before. Like, well, look at our choices. And that's when I realized, okay, that is, and laughter, I've always thought, is the great communicator and the great encourager. And it's hard to be around someone who enjoys life and is full of joy and not have your spirits lifted. And that's always been a real joy to me, is to be able to maybe encourage other people to make choices, choose joy, instead of, as I used to say, waiting and wallowing in the wastewater of worldly woe. There are some people, I do a lot of programs for diverse audiences, and there are corporate people and educators. And sometimes you see people and they come in and they're walking really funny, like their pants are in a bunch, and I'm thinking, okay. And I'm always thinking, that's not comfortable. There are certain areas, it's kind of like wearing a thong, when you're just uptight all the time. And there are certain areas of the body that aren't meant to be flossed, and I think that's one of them. And so there's an image you have to forget now. But so that's always been my thing, is just, and I've had some tough times like everybody else. I mean, I've had some honest to goodness struggles in my life, at one point being homeless, and just all kinds of things that have happened to me. And everybody else has too. And so you have a choice of how you deal with things. I think if you keep all of this negativity, you're doing it for a reason. It's serving you somehow. It's either allowing you to feel sorry for yourself, throw pity parties, and we love to do that, don't we? Just nobody knows the trouble I've seen. We love that, and then we like to howl. Oh, and so, we have a choice of doing that and honoring the things that are wrong, rather than changing the channel, the mental channel, and at least trying to go in a different direction. So that's kind of my story about what I do and why I do it. It's a saving grace for me, as well as hopefully helpful to other people.
I hear this over and over. If you're feeling sad, if you're in a bad place, if you're having a bad attitude, start naming off the things that you're thankful for. And I think
Oh, yeah.
that is really, really helpful. But what are some other things that maybe you've encouraged people to do when they're, those times when you just feel like you're just kind of stuck and you want to be joyful, but you're feeling kind of stuck?
And that's a real problem, because it's easy to say, oh, come on, suck it up, buttercup, and get out of it. And it isn't easy to do. And your mention of listing your grateful and your gratitude journal, I pass out joy journals, because I think, well, if you're memorizing something, if you need to change your behavior pattern, how do you do it? Okay. And you're familiar, of course, with neuroplasticity, where, you have these different connections going on in your brain. So if I'm singing a song and I want to sing it differently, I have to do what? Keep repeating it. Different, 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 until it makes a connection. So when I'm in a stuck place where I just can't move ahead, I try to, just as many times a day as I can, practice joy. Look around for the little miracles in life. And it sounds corny and it sounds like a motivational speaker, because, oops, that's what I am. But there is a musical years ago on Broadway, Flower Drum Song, and there's a song in there called 100 Million Miracles. And I love this song because it speaks of all the things that we can focus on in the world to change our thought patterns. We think everything's going wrong. Nothing is good. We'll look around and listen to a child's laughter. Look at the beauty of the earth. Look up at the sky. Get back in touch with the elf in yourself. If you write the word myself, the last three letters are elf. And we forget that when we get older. When we get grown up, we think we have to groan all the time. So when you're stuck, and I tell the people that I work with, yeah, you're stuck, but turn things around and see if you can just look at them a different way, reframe them. I was speaking in Germany at one point, and I made a little side trip to Salzburg to see Mozart, because of course I love Mozart, to see his house, his childhood home. And I was absolutely enthralled. The one room, pictures were hung upside down and sideways. And we were told that when he was stuck, he looked at things a different way. He would turn pictures around, or he would look between his legs to see something upside down, because that jogged that little trigger that kind of pushed him into looking at things differently. And I don't think we're all that different. I think that's what we can do. And it takes practice. And it takes a while to restructure and to get a new habit. But if it takes putting up little, things, little sticky tabs about, your motivational quips or whatever. And for goodness sake, I tell people, find something to laugh about and learn to laugh at yourself, because the world is a laugh laboratory. I mean, there are just things all over the place. I post them on Facebook all the time because it makes me so, so happy to see some of the silly things that are out there in the world that don't require a lot of laughter. It's just, oh my gosh, that's kind of funny. And then you smile, and that breaks that negative habit. So it is something that we have to work at, and we have to decide. But not only do we have to decide, since I was a teacher and I teach with little stories, I used to tell the kids, here's a riddle for you. There are five frogs on a log. One decides to jump off of the log. How many frogs are on the log? And they'll all say four. And I'll say, no, there are five still on the log, because one decided to change but did nothing to make it happen.
Oh, yes.
And so I, there are just, every person has to find something in themselves and not honor what's wrong, but honor the possibilities. And I have a big banner that I use in my programs, and it reads, opportunity is, and you can either read it, opportunity is now here, or opportunity is nowhere, because the letters are all squashed together. And it's one of those things that you're training your brain to look at things a different way. So that's a whole lot of words. I don't know if I answered your question, but.
Well, that was great. And you're talking about having like the wonder of a child. So I know there's those people my age, and I'm over 40. There's people my age who have never grown up, but you don't really want to be around them because they're like immature. They're being funny, but they're like immature. So how do we be that wonder child and still be that mature adult?
I understand what you mean. And there is a difference in being childlike and childish. And childlike is that sense of wonder and awe and not being so stuck in your ways, and having the courage to step out of that box. And it isn't about being funny, and it isn't about being goofy and wearing silly hats. I do, but that's just me. And step out of that box. I laid this out because I encourage people to get one of these. Now, not to wear at a board meeting or anything, but
Just for
I tell
people who
you.
are listening, she has a clown nose, a
Oh,
big red
yes.
clown nose on her nose.
Yes, because if you get one of these and you put it on and you look at yourself in the mirror, you can't take yourself too seriously anymore.
No.
And that just is a reminder that there are options. And again, it isn't about being silly or goofy, but having that sense of joy and that sense of wonder is what makes us more effective adults. It makes us more effective leaders. It releases our imagination, and we can reach our goals. So it's, again, just being willing to do little silly things, not even in front of other people, but just Goodness, put on some music and dance around a little bit, to get yourself into a mood of where I don't have to groan just because I'm a grown up. In the Toy Story movies, my favorite characters were the potato heads. I just really liked them. And there was one scene where Mrs. Potato Head was packing for Mr. Potato Head, and he was going on a trip, and she didn't know how it was going to go. So she said, "I packed both your happy eyes and your angry eyes." And so, and I thought, that's what we do every morning. We choose if we're going to wear our happy eyes or our angry eyes. And every moment is a choice. We need to decide and choose what we let into our head. And we can choose to look for the joy, or we can choose to be dragged down. Michelangelo, maybe you know this story, was asked one time, "How did you create such beautiful artwork out of rock and stone? Are you familiar with that?" And he said, "I didn't create that artwork. That was already in the rock. God created that, put that in there. I just had to chip away the excess pieces and set the angel free and let the angel fly." And I like to think that that's kind of the way we are. We're all little children that are covered with layers of grown-up stuff. And if we don't shed those layers, then we can't find that sense of joy and that wonder and that hope, which I love acronyms. So hope for me is holding on to positive expectations. And if we can let that fly, but so many of us can't because we all have big butts. And I don't mean the butt that we sit on. I mean, I would do that, but I would find more joy, but. And we need to get rid of those excuses that we wrap around ourselves like a security blanket, but they actually become a straitjacket. And in my sessions, I give everybody one of these.
Then
It's
you
a
gotta say
smile on a
what you're
stick.
holding so people know.
It's a smile on a stick. That's my logo. It's a big toothy grin. And I hand these out to everyone. And I said, "Don't be afraid of it. Just pick it up, look at yourself in the mirror." And after a while, you see people loosening up. And, they're like, "Oh, I don't want to do that." And then after a while, they're like, "Ha ha ha ha," walking around with it because it feels so good. And I always tell them to carry it with them in their car and then, pull up next to somebody.
Would be hilarious.
Yeah. And so it is, we just, and I have a session that is about the cracked pot. And it is about how to mend when you've been broken. And I use the Japanese art of kintsugi, which is filling in the cracks of pottery with gold, and it becomes stronger in the broken places, and it's beautiful. And I think if we think of our lives that way, rather than to focus on the things that have happened to us and think, "I'm broken, nothing will ever be okay again," ding dong, that's wrong. It, you can learn and grow and be stronger in your broken places. And all of those things combined, if you internalize them and you make them your mantra that you are choosing joy, I think that helps us get unstuck.
Choose it every
Yeah.
morning you wake up.
Right. And it sounds kind of like Pollyanna. Oh, it's easy to do that. Not always. Not always easy. But the rewards and the payoffs and are great. And having a sense of humor is one of the best things. And it grows. And I know some people probably, are listening and can't see, but you can see. It's this little stretchy ball. And I use this by saying that here is a little seed of joy, and nurture it and water it, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that gets the point across that you don't have to start out big. Just be grateful that you're breathing. Be grateful that you woke up and your eyes opened. Be grateful that you can stand up. I mean, whatever it is, the tiny little victories, celebrate the victory.
Exactly. That reminds me, I was at a it was actually a camp when I was a kid, and they had this music tape where they had this guy that came on and he starts laughing.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's laughing and he's t singing this laughing song, and then he's just, I mean, he's just laughing hilariously, and all of a sudden the whole room is just roaring with laughter and no one can stop laughing. It's like it's contagious.
Is contagious. It is exactly that. That is, it isn't taught, it's caught. And in my workshops, I call them play shops, in my workshops and sessions, we do, and there is something you're probably familiar with it called laughter yoga. And that's exactly what that is. And I'll have people stand and look at each other and just start with, you gotta fake it till you make it, start with a little fake laugh. And then pretty soon people are just uproariously laughing because it's so silly. And silly is healthy. It's healthy to be silly every now and then. And total health is more than just the absence of physical illness. I mean, it has to come from within. It doesn't require an outside source. It can be from within. And it's just a, I was talking to, I go into my old school and substitute occasionally. And I asked the kids one day, I said, what is joy? And these are first graders, kinder and first. And one little guy said, it's a feeling in your tummy that you just can't keep down. It just comes out your mouth. And that's true. And another little girl who is wise way beyond her years said, joy. And we had put it up to spell it, J-O-Y. And she said, J-O-Y. She thought about it. She said, just open your eyes. And she used the J-O-Y for just open your. And I thought, that is so wise. Just open yourself. Open yourself to the possibilities. And it, I don't know, I've just seen it work. I mean, it bailed me out when I was in a really, really, really bad place. I mean, I had lost everything. Everything. And one of my daughters had an emotional problem that was very severe, and one of them had some major medical problems. I had lost everything and was throwing myself a major, major pity party, sleeping on the floor of an abandoned house, actually. And I just was honoring everything that was wrong. And my father said to me, he had had a stroke and he had lost the use of the left side of his body, and yet he couldn't control what had happened, but he could control how he dealt with it. And he said, Linda, you need to weed your garden. And I thought, what the heck? I don't have a garden. I don't even have a house. How am I going to have a garden? And it took me a while, but I was walking around in the neighborhood where I was staying, and I saw a wall on which people had graffitied. And there was one phrase that someone had written, let your joy be greater than your fear. And I realized, okay, that's what he was talking about. It was my internal spiritual garden that needed to be weeded. And, I just, it's just worked for me so many times that I believe it. And that's why I like to share it.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you feel stuck or sad or that place where you've lost everything, it's really hard to make any movement or get any momentum going forward when you're so in that mired pity party. But as soon as you have even the little spark of joy or a little spark of hope, you can at least do one action, one
Baby
action. And
steps.
then you can do another action, and then you can do another action.
And make a habit of it because it is their baby steps. And you can't expect it to be turned around. It didn't take just a minute for you to get there, so it's not going to take just a minute for you to snap out of it, but it's so worth it. And there are things that cannot be taken away from you if you don't allow them to be taken away. And I love Viktor Frankl's book. Oh gosh, what was the name of that? Man's search for
Meaning? Is it
meaning.
his search
Thank
of
you.
meaning? Yeah.
Yes. Man's search for meaning. And you remember, he was in the prison camp. He was in the concentration camp. And in his book, he says there, they took everything. They tortured him. They stripped him down. They shaved his head. And then one thing that they couldn't take away from him was his ability to feel joy and his sense of humor and his laughter. And that's, I mean, I figured, man, if somebody in that situation can get out of a rut, I sure ought to be able to do it. And it is, it's just baby steps, and it's having the faith in yourself that you can, you are capable of doing it. You deserve it. You are not being punished for anything. Everything that happens to us is a result of something, and you can't go backwards in time. You can't live your life looking in a rearview mirror. So, whoop. And laughter. I was fortunate enough to be on the same speaking stage as Patch Adams one time, and he said something that I will never forget. He said, "Laughter isn't what we do; it's what we are." And I thought, okay, there you go. It's seen with the eyes, heard with the ears, and understood with the heart. And laughter and joy, boy, those are two things that I will fight to keep no matter what. And I've seen it, even if it's just a temporary, break, it's a breather. You can step away from what's wrong for even a little bit. It's healing.
That's true. I mean, even watching a funny movie or a funny performance. I mean, I thought of
Yeah.
times when, I've been with my kids. When I get really, really tired, I will start laughing and
I
I
do
will laugh
too.
at anything. I mean,
Yeah.
you just like raise your eyebrows, I'll laugh. I mean, anything to the point where I am rolling. My face is like the color of a tomato. And I'm
Yes.
laughing and laughing and laughing, and I just cannot stop.
And don't you feel good afterwards?
I do. Well, that's what I was thinking. It's such a catharsis. It's such a clearing because you feel so good, but you feel like almost like everything was cleaned out and
That's exactly it. That's a very good way to put it, because you've taken out the garbage, you've taken out the trash, and you're starting over. And just what you have to do by the very nature physically of laughing, it's releasing. You take those deep cleansing breaths, you're gasping, for air when you're breathing, and the endorphins are flowing every which way. And I have found in my life that the people who have the greatest understanding and appreciation of the power of laughter are the people that have been through the toughest times. And the farther down they were, the more that they understand and appreciate what it can do. Can I tell you one more little quick story about somebody that inspired me? I met a man who, it was after the Oklahoma City bombings. He had been a firefighter and had been in a blast when he was trying to rescue children from the daycare center in that federal building. And it had been such a horrible blast that it literally had, his ears were burned off, basically. And he had been in the hospital for many, 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 many weeks. And he was getting more and more depressed. And the last stage of his surgeries were going to be prosthetic ears, kind of building his ears back up again. And he told me, he said, "I didn't want to go through that. I didn't care. I just, what was the point?" And he said that I had some buddies that would not let me go down that road. And the night before surgery, he said, "Imagine my surprise when they arrived in my hospital room wearing big fake ears, carrying a big sign that read, 'Happy New Year's Eve.'" And he said, "I didn't want to laugh, but I did. And when I did that, the nurses commented on all the machines that he was hooked up to. Everything started to regulate, his better, his circulatory." I mean, it's just magic. It is a gift to us to be able to, I love the way you said, just clear it out. Just clean everything out. It's kind of like Drano.
Exactly. So I want to
Yeah.
switch gears a little bit and just ask about, basically you're a teacher, but you teach with props, you teach with songs, you teach. So, I understand that a lot of people think it's the responsibility of the student to learn, but I think it's a lot of times it really is the responsibility of the teacher to teach so that the kids will learn or they can learn, kids or adults.
Of
So,
course.
if what are some ideas or things you would tell a teacher if she wants to really bring her lessons alive or his lessons alive?
I think that all of us, the first thing that any teacher probably learns is that there are multiple intelligences. We all learn differently. There are visual learners, there are tactile learners, they're just everybody's different. And with large class sizes, it's hard to individualize, but do the best you can. But here's my thing. And when I do teacher trainings, and here's one thing that I say, make it fun. And that doesn't mean wearing hats and noses and things like that, but make it fun. People, no matter how old they are, don't want to be preached at. They don't, they've got an attention span for the most part that's this long, and then you need to shift gears and move them around. And, songs, I teach with music all the time. And I've written a curriculum book for Arizona history, and it's about this little coyote that travels the state and learns things. And he's a singing coyote, and he makes up little nonsense songs. So when I'm teaching about Kyle, because I do programs for kids with Kyle, we take the material that we've learned and we make up a song about it. And so for a teacher, you need to be creative. You need to think on the spot and think out of the box and get onto the box and smash that box and look around and see and read your audience. If the kids are, and even with an adult audience, if people are like, you figure, okay, I need to change it up a little bit. But getting kids on their level, meeting them where they are. And if somebody just isn't getting it, I always say, tell me what you teach me what you know about this subject. And I let them tell me, and then I find out what they have absorbed, what they have not absorbed. And then I make it into kind of like a partnership, and they end up teaching themselves because I am listening to what they have learned, and I am building on what they know and adding on to the things that they didn't get. And never, ever, ever, ever in my whole life do I ever want anything to happen to a child like happened to me when I had a sixth grade teacher. I wasn't catching on to math because a teacher has to know that just because you know how to do it, that doesn't mean they do. Just because you understand the concept doesn't mean they are going to. And I had a teacher that told me, literally, you are so, when this is what he said, Linda, when you get older, you're going to love this. I hope you get yourself a husband because you're too stupid to ever live on your own.
Oh no.
Can you imagine that? And that was a horrible, horrible thing to say. And that is the reason that I became a teacher, because I didn't want any child to ever go through that. Because I'm an individual, you're an individual. Every student in there is an individual. They're going to learn at different rates, they're going to learn in a different style. And it doesn't matter if they learn the way everyone else does. And I believe in peer teaching. I believe very much in peer teaching and teaching in small groups. I just have a style of teaching that maybe is different, but I think, my gosh, that's the way that they learn. And you allow them to have fun while they're doing it, do projects instead of just sitting or making them learn dates or whatever it is, do projects, sing songs, I mean, oh my goodness, we do all kinds of things in my classroom. We're up dancing around and we're doing things, and doggone it, they remember those things. And I started teaching about 150 years ago, and I still get calls from my first group of kindergartners, these kids that are probably older than you are, and they will call and they will say things that they remember that we did in the class. And that is what makes it all worth it. And the things they remember are the kindnesses. They don't remember what you say as much as they remember how you made them feel. And that would be my advice to every new teacher. Know that. Know that you are everything to that child for that period of time. Your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your nurse, your doctor, everything. And see the child. See the child. Don't ever assume that because a child is acting out that there's something wrong with that child. There's some backstory that you need to see if you can find, because there's no kid is just bad. I dislike that intensely when somebody says there's a bad kid. No, there isn't. There's a child that has some backstory that we need to flesh out and find out what we can do to move past that.
Exactly. And when you talk about doing projects or fun things, I had a fifth grade teacher that when she might have been be teaching with a few students up at front, and then we were doing like whatever our homework was, but she would let us get in groups. So instead of sitting there all by herself at our desk and bored or just really wanting to sit there, she let us get in groups and do our homework. So while she was maybe studying with this small group here, we would be doing our homework together, and then she'd take the next group and we'd switch. But the class become very close that way too, because we weren't just like sitting in the same classroom, but we were actually interacting with each other. You were playing with each other while we were learning, and that even went out onto the playground. It's so funny because our class, even though there was other classes out there, our class stuck together.
That's what happens. And
Even playing out in the on the playground.
you were very fortunate to have a teacher like that, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. It just there are certain rules that, of course, you have to abide by rules, but feel free. Teachers need to feel free to experiment with different learning styles and teaching styles. And what you just said is what happens. There is a camaraderie that develops, and they will be protective of each other. And I always called my classroom families, and we had family rules in there. And one of them, I have a thing that I do with kids, and it's called like yourself. And that like, there's a double thing there. Like is building, the self-esteem things, but also this is how you grow your brain. L is for li listening and learning. I is for imagining the possibilities. K is for keep going, keep trying. And E is for encouraging others. And that's our class rule. And it's the like rule, and they become like a little family. And I'm glad you had that experience with your fifth grade class, which was far superior to my sixth grade teacher telling me she hoped I had found it. And now I should say, hey, I found two. So there you go.
found two.
When I did my student teaching actually at that school, and he had become the principal, and he didn't recognize me, or my name, because I was already married by that time. And he, at the end of my student teaching, I went into him and I said, I want you to know that you're the reason that I became a teacher. And he puffed all up, like, oh, what have I done? And I told him the story, and it was like somebody let the air out of a balloon. And I thought, you needed to hear that, because that's what you did to a kid. And that can't ever happen.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
So, now if people wanted to connect with you, because you're doing just what at this point, why don't you tell me what things you're doing now? Who you work with and how people can connect with you.
Okay. Well, my website, I mean, I I've got a website. I've got, I guess I do I get that information
Yes,
now? Is that
please.
it? Okay,
Please.
well, it's my name, www dot, it's Linda, LindaHenley hyphen SMITH. That's my name, Linda Henley Smith at, oh, that's, yeah, that's it, Linda Henley Smith. Dot com. I was going to say, what is it? Gmail? No, that's my dot com. See, I'm not high tech. What can I tell you? And I also am on Facebook, Linda Henley Smith. And I have an organization for women called the Willow Connection. And people can get in touch with me and I can tell them more about that. And the reason that I started the Willow Connection is because in a willow grove, all of the trees are connected by one common root system. What affects one affects all of them. And I think that's the way we are. What affects one affects them all. And I did a kickoff of the Willow Connection. I wanted to do something where women could push past their limits and try things that they never thought they were capable of doing. So I brought in, I rented, the art museum for a day, and out in the yard of the art museum, I brought in a rock wall that they could climb. I had horse whispering, the equine lady there. One of my old kindergarten students grew up to be a belly dancing teacher. We gave belly dancing lessons, and we had all of these different things that they could do. And there were two bulletin boards there. When everyone came in, they got slippers, because what I still do with the Willow Connection is we have slipper camp, not boot camp. And slipper camp is a self-care and a self-esteem building workshop that we do. And it's basically self-care, because we are, well, one of my sessions is called I Am Woman, I Am Strong, I Am Invincible, I'm Pooped, because women So this is, kind of a self-care kind of a thing. And so everybody, when they came in, they got a little construction paper bucket and a little construction paper present, a gift. And because everybody has a gift that they can share, everyone has a bucket of something that needs to be filled, and they put them up on the bulletin boards, and people connected. Someone put up, I need a babysitter, because I'm going back to work. Somebody else said, I can do that. And this is, they connected. I had people who had just lost their husbands, and another woman had just lost her husband, and they connected, and they went through a grief therapy thing. And it was just wonderful. Everybody was connecting, because that's what we do in order to survive and thrive. So I do the Willow Connection, and I haven't done too much with that lately because I've been busy doing my children's book with Coyote, but I'm kicking that back off again. And some of the things, I mean, we have local things, but some of them are online seminars. And so we do a lot of online events and programs and workshops. So that's one thing that I do. And I am always out there speaking. I do programs on stress management. All I ever wanted to know, all you ever wanted to know about stress, but were too tense to ask. I think that's the name of that one, because stress is, and everybody says it that way. Nobody ever comes into a room and says, "I'm stressed." No, it's
No.
I'm stressed, and they all have that. I tell people, look at yourself when you say stress, stress. You even look like that, kind of like the constipated lizard look, And so I do stress management kinds of things. These are all online available things, and just building blocks to a healthier life. I mean, the topics vary from, and I have people that come in and we do image consulting, and I have a friend that I work with sometimes that does core wardrobing, which is really cool. How to make like 500 different outfits out of three pieces. I mean, it's very fun. So I really would encourage, people to get in touch with me for, you know, this for women basically, and the Willow Connection. Because what I saw happen there was the rock wall, and there was a woman who had just completed her final round of chemo, and she wanted so badly to make it up to the top of that rock wall, and she was struggling. And I'm telling you, it brings a tear to me, because from all over that huge ground area, people were coming, women were coming, and I have a picture of all of these women just lifting this woman up so that she could be at the top of the rock wall. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's what I love, helping each other, kindness. I'm big on kindness, really big on kindness, because being kind and forgiving others and forgiving yourself. So I have sessions that I do online also, a little, and they're all kind of fun. I mean, you know, there's serious stuff. One is the cracked pot, you know, that I talked about. One is about moving forward, getting past your past, forgiving yourself, forgiving others, and just a plethora of subjects, all based in joy. Find joy. Happiness is important. Joy is deeper, you know, they kind of are combined. And another one that I love to do is, when is it okay to laugh? Because in this day and age, sometimes there are things going on. It doesn't seem like there's a lot that you feel comfortable laughing about, because people will think you're irreverent or disrespectful. And so I talk about how important and the value of laughter. It is so healing, and it's what's going to save us. It really is. And the great comedy teams came out of the most stressful times, like war times, and you know, all of the things that are going on. That's when the comedy teams really start to come out, because we need that. And it's not being disrespectful. So when you ask what I'm doing all that stuff. And I am doing, you know, for the homeschool moms, I have online education classes. So there's just a lot of stuff. And if people really want to know, they can, with my, I can give you the my email too.
Okay,
And
fine,
okay,
yeah.
that is, there are two of them. I think the one that's appropriate now is Laugh Lady, LaughLady, 1950 at Gmail. The other one is my name, Linda Henley Smith, without the hyphen, Linda Henley Smith 1 at Gmail. And I would be glad and happy as I could be to talk with people. I do coaching also for people who are going through some struggles and need a little boost. It's kind of like life mapping, you know, it's how to recalibrate and shake off the stuff you don't need anymore and get a roadmap toward going and achieving what you so richly deserve and what you want. And I love talking to people. I love using my experiences, because, you know, if you've gone through a bunch of stuff in your life, the one thing that you can do with that is to help people that are walking down that same path. If you have, I mean, I've done it all. I've lived with alcoholism, you know, and a little bit of abuse and a little bit of homelessness and all of these things. At one point, I was so down, I put on almost 100 pounds, you know, in about a year. And that was, you know, when I realized, okay, this is ridiculous. You're giving honor to the wrong things. So I would love to talk with anybody or help anybody or do programs for anybody, because that's one of my first books back there, Adjust Your Attitude and Laugh Till the Cows Come Home, because I do believe in it.
Wonderful. So now a personal question. What gives you the most joy and happiness right now?
Oh, well, you know what? I think I alluded to it, where, you know, seeing the light bulb go on with people. And I always, before I ever get up and speak or talk to anyone, I always am saying a little silent prayer. Let me say something that's going to reach somebody, because I don't know, but make my words worth something. And when somebody comes up and says, wow, I really needed that today, that just really makes my heart sing. And seeing a light bulb go on in a kid's eyes or a grown-up's eyes. And of course, major joy for me are my kids, my family, my grandkids. I have six of them, and they're kind of grown up now, but they still, we're very close, and I am just so full of joy at watching how they have been raised by my daughters, because my daughters are wonderful, and they knew that to have a successful child grow into a, or to have a child grow into a healthy, functioning adult, you have to kind of get out of their way sometimes and let them find out things for themselves. We always want to go in and rescue. And so that's the hardest thing, I think, for a mom, is not to want to go in and fix everything. But they give me just ultimate joy, and they make me laugh. They're very funny, these kids. They're just very funny. And one of them has, she knows I love Celtic music because I'm Irish. And she said, I have got your Celtic music all lined up for your funeral. And I'm like, I said, do you know something? I don't know. I mean, just they make me laugh. So all of those things. And I just delight in the little joys, because when you focus on the things that are wrong, it's going to do nothing but drag you down. So I hope that answers the question, because that's what it is. And I love looking for things. Like I said, the world is a laugh lab. And I went by a sign the other day in front of a church, and it read, what the Sunday sermon, what really irritates God? And underneath that, it read, come in and hear our choir sing. And I thought, not sure if that's the way you want to word that, but And I just log those things in. And before you go to sleep, last thing that you ever ought to do is watch the news. I mean, get yourself a joy journal. Write down the silly, funny things that have even brought a little smile to your face that day, and read those and tell your brain that's what you want to wake up thinking about. And I think it's amazing. I've tried that, and I just tell my brain, I want you to wake up thinking about this happy thing. And doggone it, it does. And I wake up seeing every morning. Is that strange? I think it is, but
Wonderful.
I just wake up singing. And life is really, it's a roller coaster ride. And so what you need to do is just hang on and have fun, and know that where you are now, if it's not where you want to be, that doesn't have to be where you're going to be in a day or two, let alone a year or two. You do have the power to get that foot unstuck from that mess and move forward. But it's like the frogs on a log. You have to do something about it.
Exactly. So, well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today and for all your wisdom and fun stories. And I have one last question before we finish. And you've given so much of this already, but I'll ask it anyways, so this is my ending question.
Okay.
What is your best advice on living an incredible, amazing life?
Well, be the very best that you can be during the day, helping people, so that when you go to bed, the way that you act during the day, act as if when you go to bed that night, you can feel really good about what you've done. And that, I think, is that's one of my best pieces of advice I can come up with. Act like you are the only thing that the people you meet are going to remember. And so you might be the only smile they get. You might be the only kindness that they receive. So act all day long with the people that you meet, so that you can sleep that night knowing that you have done the best you can do to make your little corner of the world a better place.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Linda.
Well, my pleasure. And again, anybody can call me, anybody can email me, anybody can do whatever they want. I love to talk. You could probably tell that. I have a t-shirt that reads, "Help me, I'm talking and I can't shut up." So, but thank you, Kimberly. This was a lot of fun.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Hope so. Bye-bye.